Hello, and welcome to Soul-Led Living, a podcast dedicated to helping you live your soul's true path so you can create the dream life you know you are meant to live. I'm Nikki Novo, your spiritual mentor, a fiery Latina, mom of three, and an advocate for living soul-led. You're here because you're meant to be here. So let's do this. Today, we are going to talk about self-worth. I've been thinking a lot about confidence because I've been thinking about attracting, and then I realized that I thought it was linked completely to confidence, which it is, but it's actually most linked to self-worth. Amazing. I thought that was so cool to find out. But as sensitive, creative types like ourselves, I don't know, worth can be hard, you know, because we are empathetic and sensitive and compassionate. And I think with that comes absorbing other people's stuff, absorbing other people's thoughts, what they think about us, how they see us, and just how little we are in this world often. So I don't feel like it's been easy to find self-worth my whole life. I think then you go and you add in your parents, right? Did your parents have self-worth? Were they selling themselves short? Did you see your dad as amazing, but he wasn't getting paid as much as he should have at his work? Or was your mom a badass, but she would let other people walk all over her? I think that has so much to do with it. And I truly believe that so many of us are here to break those lineage curses and bring in self-worth with it. So I really wanted to explore that. And of course, cherry on the top is that when you have worth, you are in abundance. You are attracting abundance. If there's anything in your life that you feel like you are lacking, it is actually because of a lack of self-worth. So we want to say, okay, where am I lacking worth when it comes to relationships? Where am I lacking worth when it comes to money, to business, you know, to my children, to my relationships, whatever it is, because that is actually an opportunity to increase our attraction power, how we can bring things into our lives. And that's the world we're living in these days. We're all about attracting and calling things in and doing it in a soft kind of way. We're just like living into our truth and bringing things our way. And we just can't do that without self-worth. So I'm so excited to share with you the 7 messages that came through. I hope you have a notebook. There's a lot of tips here. There's a lot of to-do, which is awesome. And this was not so much just messages, but messages about how you can increase your self-worth. Message number 1, healthy rewards. So think about the way that you reward yourself, maybe after a long week, maybe after a hard day. And it's not even just rewards. It was really also soothing, I think. So rewards and soothing are like cousins, because sometimes to take care of ourselves, to soothe ourselves, we will give us ourselves a glass of wine, or maybe we'll watch a bad TV show or scroll or whatever. And it seems harmless. But actually, the way that we reward ourselves or soothe ourselves or care for ourselves can either add or subtract in the self-worth bank account. So for example, I mean, this was so obvious when my husband was going through sobriety. You know, after you get rid of like, okay, he's not a bad person, you know, because at first you're just like so mad and you're like, I can't believe this person's been lying to me. Or like, you know, I don't know, society just tells us people that are addicts or whatever are bad people, and so far from the truth. Typically, addicts are the most sensitive, soft, beautiful people, too affected by the world, too sensitive for the world, and they're just finding ways to care for themselves and soothe themselves. So this was so interesting to me. I was like, oh, my husband has a hard day of work or a hard week at work, and then this is what he does at the end of the week or what he does on the weekend. And while in his mind, you know, he was like, this is the best he knew how to take care of himself. So he was doing all this stuff. But then you're like, oh my gosh, but then that takes from you. You are not adding $100 to your account. You're adding a negative 100 or even a negative 200. So then now you start the next week with a negative 200 rather than at least a zero balance. You're at a totally negative. And that's what worth is about. It's like, are we adding to ourselves or are we taking away from ourselves? So we really want to look for like the highest vibrational rewards, and we'll have to kind of figure out what that is, you know, because we're doing the best we can and we're like, oh, this ice cream that I'm eating is rewarding me. That's amazing, which is cool and probably like cool for when you're 10, you know, maybe even cool when you're in your 20s, let's say. But at some point, that might be like really hurting your gut and really making you feel bad about yourself. Maybe you feel guilty when you take it and it's actually taking away from you. So those are the things that we are meant to look at and seeing like, okay, can I find a better reward system or at least balance it out, right? I love a nice espresso, but I really can't drink it every day. It is a negative for me because it dehydrates me. The way that I function too, I need a lot of hydration. I'm talking a lot, I'm doing the readings. So as much as I want coffee, it is taking from me. I can have it, but I'll just have to like really up the giving. And that might be like, I have to take some electrolytes. I have to drink a green juice that day so that I can balance it out to take the coffee. But I have to be mindful of that balancing sheet that I'm doing with my worth and especially with my rewards. So this message is really like asking you, how are you rewarding yourself or how are you taking yourself? And is there one that can give more to you? So for example, sometimes when I'm in a bad mood, I'm like, oh, whatever, I'm just going to watch this Netflix show. Fine, that might give me a zero. It's like negative nor positive. But if I go to this masseuse who I love, who just like, I don't know, seems to move everything out and energize me, then that is a reward that's giving me like a positive two, a positive five, let's say. So it is worth it for me to go out of my way and get that because that is telling me I'm worth it. That basically like, I'm like, okay, little one, you're in a bad mood. We're going to take you out of this house. We're going to book you that massage. We're going to spend this amount of money on you. And we are going to reward you in the most positive way. And what I'm doing is I'm telling you, you are worth it rather than maybe like, okay, you're just going to hang out on this bed and watch a show that's like not so good. It depends. There's not really like a black and white, but we have to feel into the energy of the reward or of the soothing technique or the self-care technique. Some are going to increase your energy and your worth more than others. I had such a chocolate chip cookie problem, guys. I used to joke with my husband. I was like, you know what? Your addiction was so much easier because people judge you for your addiction. So you had the support of people looking down on you and you needed to get rid of your addiction. I'm here just eating cookies and nobody really cares because I'm not overweight and nobody thinks it's that big of a deal, but I'm truly addicted to these damn chocolate chip cookies. And it didn't seem like a big deal, right? It's just like, yeah, okay, I'm rewarding myself. I'm giving myself a little dopamine. But I was talking to my good friend and assistant Kat, and I don't know where it came from. I think it was her therapist, but we were like talking about like the energy of like food of when you're eating it. I don't know if you remember this, Kat. This is like a while ago, but it really changed my life. But I remember being like, oh man, okay, I want to pay attention to the energy that I feel when I'm sticking this cookie in my mouth. And when I sat with it, I'm like, okay, what does it feel like to put this cookie in my mouth? I realized that it was this feeling of like, you suck. It really was. It was like, it was just a very victim feeling, right? So it was like, oh, poor you. You just suck. And like, poor you, like give the girl a cookie, you know? And who knows where that came from? I don't know if my parent, I don't think my dad was a pediatrician. He really kept the sugar from me, but my mom would give it to me for sure. And I don't know where that came from, but that's just like, it was just like this feeling of soothing, but in the worst of ways. So for some people, having that cookie doesn't do anything, right? Having that cookie might be like, oh my God, this is the most amazing. I'm so lucky. I'm so excited to eat this cookie. That's a positive for them. But for me, the way that I was using it was such a negative. And it was like I was eating a negative vibration and I was eating a negative way of seeing myself. So every time I took that cookie, I was giving myself less and less worth. And that's why that stuff is bad, you know? So now it's kind of finding what are the things that when I'm feeling that way, there was something that triggered me to have that cookie. What can I do to feel better and actually increase? And finding what that is, you know, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's swimming, maybe it's going with friends, but really paying attention to your reward system. Number two, I love this one. This is about sensing your energy, kind of feeling it, like knowing what it feels like. And then realizing when you are over-accommodating, when you are trying to please somebody that goes against your own energy or even just going against your own boundaries. So the best way I can explain this one is through an example. Because what I realized is that when I was sitting this one, I was like, well, gosh, it's so hard to feel my energy. Is it at a 5? Is it at a 7? Like I was trying to give it a number and it was like hard to tell. And then I went through a situation with one of my child's friend's mom and I felt this right away. So that's why I'm going to explain it. Because for those of us here, we are sensitive, we are soft, we are heart-led. And what that means is sometimes we leave our bodies. Like sometimes we are disconnected to our bodies or we look for things to disconnect ourselves from our body so that we don't have to feel as much. So that's why sometimes it's hard to feel this one because we actually have to like really be present in our body to sense this very subtle kind of over accommodating, just going outside of ourselves to make it easier for somebody else. Do you know what I'm talking about? I'm trying to give you the right words, but I feel like you feel me. Okay, so let me give you an example. The other day I was talking to my son's friend's mom about dropping off the kids and coordinating a play date. So Oliver goes to a school about 35 minutes away from us because we drive him into the city, even though we live in the country. We do it, it's worth it, we love it. But at the same time, it's a little bit of an inconvenience because all his friends live by the school. So on the weekends, when he wants to hang out, his friends want to come to our house because we have a cool house. But at the same time, who wants to drive 40 minutes back and forth, right? Twice. So I'm always trying to meet the parents halfway or figure out a way where nobody's overdriving. But I tend to want to do the driving because I just want Oliver to have a good time. And I feel bad. I feel like almost like I am the one that moved so far, right? This is my fault, right? I'm the one that is putting people in a tough situation because I live so far, which is so crazy, but that's how it like feels sometimes. So the other day I'm talking to his friend's mom and we're talking about the drop-off situation. And the day before he had a sleepover. So the day before I went out of my way to go pick up the kid at a late time and drove all the way over there, whatever, drove them back. And then the next day she was like, okay, well, I'll come to you. And I was like, no, it's okay. I can totally meet you halfway. Don't worry about it. This is via text. And then I had already downloaded the messages for this episode and I was like, oh, this is what it is. So in that moment, I took a pause and I was like, okay, I had already told her I would meet her halfway. And I noticed, I was like, oh, this is like where you can feel your energy. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be here in this moment and I'm going to be in my body and I'm going to be in this energy. And I'm really going to ask myself, what do I wish she is going to write back? What do I hope she's going to write back? And of course, what I hoped is that she would say, no, you went out of your way yesterday. I'm going to meet you fully today. I'm going to come your way. Even though I had already told her I would meet her halfway. And I would do it like if I had to. But sometimes when you are such a people pleaser or when you're so used to overaccommodating or when you're so used to trying to make it easy for people, you almost don't even know the difference anymore. So for me, the only way I could tell the difference was if I asked myself and honestly asked myself, what would you wish that she would respond? Almost that like she would make the decision for me, that she would make it happen for me so that I can get away from my own people-pleasing, like over-accommodating ways. And sure enough, she said, I will come to you. And I accepted it. And I was like, okay, we're never going to do that again. We are going to do that exercise before we send the text of saying, I will meet you halfway when really I had already done the long trip the day before. We're really going to try to honor ourselves. And that's what this message is about. This is like making these small choices and it feels like it has to do with other people. I'm going out of my way or I'm overstepping, people pleasing, but to a detriment of me. And what that does is that it actually tells me that I am not worth it. I am not worth or I'm not deserving of having a friend for my child that they're willing to do 50-50 with me. Like somehow I think these people are better than me by saying I have to do the driving. How about we're a good enough family or we're a great house or we're a great pal enough for you to want to drive to us. I am enough. We are enough. My child is enough. And when I do these little things, they look so minor and they look like they're under the guise of just like, you know, being nice and not complicating things for people. They're actually hurting us. And they actually lower our self-worth. So that is why it is not worth it anymore, you guys. It's not worth it to overplease or to go outside your boundaries or to say yes when you mean no. It's just not worth it anymore because every time we do that, it lowers our attraction value. We attract less. We have less. We're like taking from our bank account every time we do that. And that's why we have less and less and less. Because honestly, it's not a big deal for me to do that drive. But out of respect for my own energy and also respect for my own dreams. Because when I do that, then I have less energy, let's say, to attract people to buy my book, let's say. So I need to be very mindful of those things so that I have enough worth to attract the things that I really want in my life, even when they seem unrelated, because it's all related. How I let my friends treat me is how I let my customers treat me or how I let XYZ. So that heart that you have for other people and that love that you have for peace and just making things easy for people, I want you to turn that heart inward. So let's just imagine this green energy that's in our chest. All that energy goes out. Let's imagine that energy going out, but also in as well. So it's going out and I'm receiving it back in as well. I go out and I'm receiving it back in. So let's just kind of fix the energy there. Instead of all of it going out, I want you to imagine it going out and then repeat and flipping right back to you. Out and flipping right back to you. Okay? So that is, we're not going to overaccommodate anymore because we want to add more value to ourselves and we want to see ourselves with more worth. Hello, my friend. I wanted to quickly interrupt this episode to let you know on a little update that will be happening to the podcast. Starting next week, we are going to go down to one episode per week. I know, but that doesn't mean we're taking away the business podcast. I'll be switching up between our regular inspo podcast, doing some business podcasts and some interviews, but going down to once a week because I'm just getting to a place where I'm making a lot of content these days and I'm really feeling like I want to do more quality over quantity and just blow your minds, you know, once a week. And I also don't want to make it too sweet. You know what I mean? I don't want it to be like overindulgent, like too much of Nikki. So we're going to move to once a week. We will have all the business stuff that you love and a lot of inspo that you love on the new app, Clarity app. So if you're ever feeling like you're needing a little bit more inspo than just the once a week, you're really going to love the Clarity app. But there's another little interruption about the Clarity app, so you can listen to that. But I just wanted to give you a heads up. I love you so much. I'm so grateful for you guys being here and listening to those two episodes, but we're still going to have good ones. We're just going to do it once a week. So love you much, and I will see you next week. Message number three. This is about the energy we put behind things. So there's a lot of tasks that we always have to do, right? We're always doing, we're making projects happen, we're making life happen. There's a lot of doing in our lives. But there are two ways to do things. We can do things out of perfectionism, performing, people pleasing, right? Like let's say I'm going to drive for my kid, but only because I want these people to be pleased. I'm doing it to make them happy, to make sure that my kid keeps a friend and that we don't lose this friendship, right? I can do it from there, or I can do things out of love for myself. So same thing, same task, same thing that we do, but the energy behind it really matters to our worth. I've been staring at my closet for many, many weeks. I know that I have to organize this closet. And I just could not get myself to do it. It was like the inner teenager in me was like, no, no. And I love to clean. I love to pick up and keep things organized. But I just, every weekend, I was like, no, I want to do something else with my weekend. I don't want to pick up my closet. And as I'm downloading these messages, I was like, oh, this has to do with my closet. And then I was like, okay, I do want to pick up my closet, but not because it's because if somebody comes over my house and they see my messy house, like how embarrassing, or because I'm a perfect person and I need to have everything neat and perfect, where there are many things that maybe I was doing from that place, especially around my house, let's say. And that's why I was rebelling against it. I was like, I don't want to be perfect anymore. You know, this idea of being accepted by society or by friends and people is just not as exciting for me anymore. It's not as motivating as it was anymore. So then therefore I'm at this place where like, I can't do shit. I'm not organizing my closets, you know, things that I actually want to do, but I can't get myself to do it because that old motivation of doing it out of performance is just not working for me anymore, but I still wanted to do it. And then I realized, oh, we're going to fix the closet, Nikki. We're going to organize the closet because I love you. Because you deserve a nice, clean closet that doesn't stress you out every time you open the closet. That's why we're doing it. It's for nobody else but for you because I love you. We are going to clean the closet. So when we do things and we motivate through nothing else, but because out of love, then we add to our self-worth. So for example, in my business, when I first started this podcast, it was nothing more than, I love you, Nikki, and you have something to say. So we're going to get you a camera and we're going to get you a microphone and we're going to let you go. Out of love, right? And then of course, people end up being attracted to it. Of course, maybe somebody might come into my closet and be like, wow, it looks amazing. But it was for nobody else but for me, right? And that is the best form of motivation or the best reason to do things is because we love ourselves. And it's also going to clear some things up for us. Maybe there might have been another version of me that's like, I love myself even with a messy closet. I actually don't feel like I need to pick up this closet. It really doesn't bother me. Out of love for myself, I'm going to go for a hike instead, let's say. So it is not black or white, but it's really about the energy we put behind the things that we're doing. This can really increase our self-worth, especially the things that you're like struggling to get yourself to do. Ask yourself, if you loved yourself, what would you do? Would you go towards it and be like, oh my God, yeah, of course, I do this because I love myself. Or would you go, no, actually, I don't need to do it. And just switching that too, because I might do something, again, in my house out of performance, but I can also do it out of love. And it's just better to put the energy of love into it, because that really starts to signal to myself that I am worthy, that I'm amazing, so much so that I'm getting up and cleaning my closet for me, for nobody else but for me. That's how special and amazing I am. Friends, I'm so excited to announce that my company just released a new app called Clarity. I made this as a space where you can take your spiritual practice to the next level. I am so grateful that this podcast has become part of your practice, but I'd love to invite you to go a bit deeper. I want to invite you to shift your energy completely, and you can do that with the Clarity app. The greater and lasting shifts will come from practices like listening to the guided meditations we have. We have soul path meditation, we have the trust yourself meditation, we have the spirit baby meditation, and many, many more. You'll also get to take advantage of my practical guidance. You hear me share practical tips on the pod all the time. Well, in the app, I've made videos for some of those tips, like how to teach your AI how to give you a reading. And for my business lovers, we have exclusive pod episodes uploading there regularly. Right now, we have messages about your business's big shift and the energy of successful selling. Plus, as a member, you're invited to a monthly reading with me where I answer questions live with my intuitive downloads. You get extended Monday readings and, of course, a community section where you can connect with other brave hearts just like yourself. The link to join is in the description below. I can't wait to see you in the Clarity app and see how much your life is shifting into the authentic expression you know it is meant to be. Message number five, if we're really going to live this lifestyle of increasing our self-worth, there has to be a commitment to encouragement over criticism. When I was in meditation, it really seemed like the number one thing that really decreases our worth is this constant criticism. And we do it all the time, right? It could be the smallest thing, or like this worry or this idea that it's not good enough. Like, oh, I'm not going to take this photo because it's not good enough, or I'm not going to write that thing, or I'm not going to wear that outfit, or oh my gosh, look at my eyebrow, or look at my lips, or whatever. This is really, really bringing us down on that ladder of self-worth. So we want to commit to an encouragement. And encouragement doesn't mean that we need to applaud every single thing, being like, oh yeah, I just made that video and it was amazing. It might not be amazing, but it might be like, okay, that was a great first try. We're going to have to do it a few times to get it right. But at least we're trying, and at least we're here, and at least we're doing it. So I'm not lying to myself and being like, oh, just one time, that's amazing. That's like my son who's seven, he works out once and he says he has big muscles. And then of course I applaud him and tell him he has big muscles. We're not gonna do that. Encouragement is more like, yeah, if you work out every day, you are gonna get big muscles eventually, and that's amazing that you're starting. So we have to be in the habit of that. So it's really deciding today that we're leaving behind this criticizing version of ourselves, and not because, oh, whatever, it's not good or it's not bad. I wanna add to my self-worth bank account because I wanna attract more in my life. I wanna have more abundance, and criticizing is taking from me. Again, not worth it anymore. It's just so not worth it, and there's just at this point, no excuse for it, you know? I was raised in a very criticizing culture. My mom is the master at criticizing. And fortunately, I picked it up a lot, and I've had to work through it so much. The kids have totally helped. Having a partner has helped, because those intimate relationships where I want to try to criticize, they'll push back on me real quick. They're like, no, you're not going to criticize me. And then that makes an unhappy relationship. And I want to have good relationships. So I realize that I'm criticizing, and I got to let that go. And that has taught me to let it go for myself. You know, as we criticize others, we are criticizing ourselves. And criticizing is really depleting us. I don't know. Is that enough motivation to let it go? Because I think we should all let it go today and really focus on a lifestyle of encouraging ourselves, which to me, encouraging is like little positive encouragements every step of the way, not saying it's amazing, not being toxic positive and saying like everything's going to work out, but really just deciding that that's the kind of inner mother that we're going to be and deciding that that's the lifestyle that we're going to live. Because self-worth is like a lifestyle is what I was feeling. Like it's like some people either live on a lifestyle of low self-worth, and then some of us live in high self-worth where we are increasing, where that momentum is increasing, like where we're adding to the account and saving in that account. And then those of us who are constantly borrowing and taking and depleting the account. And what's cool is that once you're on the other path where you're living this lifestyle of encouragement and really increasing that self-worth, it becomes a snowball effect eventually. And that's where we start to really start to attract. So it's not like you're overly confident and entitled, you know, annoying bullshit. It's really that you are so aware that you love yourself this way for the only reason because you want things, you know, like, because you're like, you know, I just want to live a life that's abundant, that has like the things that I want. So that's why I'm choosing to add and love myself. Message number five, patience. Patience is a part of the self-worth lifestyle. I guess because when we are expecting more from ourselves quickly and in a fast way and right away, and as soon as we try something for the first time, you just feel that expectation of being like, why hasn't it worked? Or you've been trying this and it's not working. Why is this not happening for you? That energy, that kind of way of loving the little child inside of you is really pulling from your self-worth. Because when you're being impatient for something not happening, or maybe you're not getting healthy the way you want to, or maybe you're not increasing XYZ the way you want to, or maybe you're not manifesting as fast as you want to, that is telling us that there's something wrong with us. Every time we say it's not fast enough or it's not happening fast enough, we're saying, oh, there's something wrong with me. It should have happened by now. I learned this a lot when the kids were younger. My dad, thankfully, being a pediatrician, I remember Oliver in particular, he was just talking later than the other kids and he had a little bit of a lisp and there was a few things off like in the way that he was speaking. And I, of course, concerned as my first baby. And my dad was like, Nikki, literally all babies grow at different milestones. He's one of the youngest in the class. He's just a big guy, but it's totally okay. He's going to catch up. He's totally fine. He's totally normal. We got to be patient with this kid. And it was just so horrible as a mom to be telling him that he wasn't moving fast enough. And now, like, the guy talks way too much, just like his mom. And actually, I'm not going to criticize myself anymore, guys. I talk and there's purpose for the amount of talking that I do. But anyways, he is big and he talks and he's just fine and all the things. I was just being impatient at the moment out of fear, of course, that something was wrong. And I was just so lucky to have my dad to tell me like, nope, everything happens and it's due time. I remember crying one day when these windows showed up in my house because we had bought this house, our second house together. Well, the first house I moved in, Benny had already had it. And then the second house, we bought it together. And it was like a total disaster, this house. Like the windows, I could have like flicked them and they would have shattered, that kind of stuff. But we didn't have the money to replace the windows for like several years. And I was so impatient. I, at 30 years old, believed I should have had $30,000 to be able to change these windows right away. And I did not have it. And I was so upset for months and months and months and months. And then finally, we made some extra money in Benny's business. And we were like, okay, we're going to take that money. Or actually, I think his grandfather had passed away and gave us a little bit of money. And we're like, okay, we're going to use this money to buy the windows. And finally, we order them. The windows show up and the little Cuban man comes and he delivers me the windows. And I'm crying. And he's like, in Spanish, he's like, why are you crying? And I'm like, because I've been waiting for these windows for so many years. He's like, but why? Why did it take so long? I'm like, no, it wasn't the company that took long. I feel like I took long. Like I should have had these windows 2 years ago. And he just said, he's like, no, God delivers in like always the right timing. He was saying it in Spanish and just like crying. And I was like, yes, he does. Yes, he does. And it was just like this beautiful reminder. It was just going to come when it was going to come, you know? And like, why was I torturing myself for those 2 years when I didn't have those windows? They eventually came. They came all at the right timing and everything was beautiful. And I caused all this suffering for 2 years before those windows were like actually delivered or that we could actually afford them. So this idea of trying to rush ourselves is really hurting ourselves more than we think. It is really sending the wrong signal to us. And it's one of the things that makes us feel like we're not deserving or we're not worthy because it makes us think that we are broken. So really taking a minute today to look at the places where we are being impatient, where we are pushing ourselves a little too hard just because we're trying to go faster, and really, you know, just sitting and enjoying the season and just being like, okay, like what season is this really? In my book, Soul-Led Living, there's a whole section on seasons and really being able to feel into like, is this a slower season? Is this a fast season? And also even just feeling into when something's really supposed to happen for me. I always say, like in the intuition classes that I teach, I always say that like psychic 102 is knowing the timing. Because psychic 101 is like, oh my God, yes, this is going to happen for me. You know, I'm going to get this boyfriend, or I'm going to get this big break, or this money's going to come for me, or like this thing in my business is going to happen. Like, awesome, amazing. You know it's coming. That's cool. But sometimes that might be coming 2 years from now, and that might... sometimes it might be 2 months from now, and we got to feel into that and be okay with that and be patient as we enjoy this present moment and allow whatever is going to come to us in divine timing. Message number 6. I loved this one. Using our spiritual belief to help give us more self-worth. So all of us here probably have, you know, some sense of spirituality, right? So maybe some of us are from a Christian background. Some of you might maybe more new agey, maybe, you know, connected to the earth. But obviously I'm spiritual vibes, so you're spiritual vibes. And we can't believe in God and the universe and Jesus, whatever it is, and not believe that we are great. So when we are like, yeah, no, I do believe in all this spiritual stuff, well, then we have to be like, okay, God, the ultimate creator, the divine, he could use any material in the universe to be able to create us, and he decided to create you. Like, the ultimate creator is going to use the best material, so you have to believe that you are the best material. So kind of living this life and being like, I am the best material, no mistakes here. I'm super powerful. I have everything that I need. I do not lack anything, because God, if he's the ultimate creator, like, why would he create something faulty? He's going to use the best of the best. It's like saying, like, I'm going to go to this restaurant and there's this amazing chef, you know, 5 stars, whatever, Michelin chef, blah, blah, blah. I could probably trust that like everything in his plates are going to be like the highest quality. So we really, if we are spiritual people and believe in God and the divine and we lean on that, well, then that also means that we are divine and that we are of the highest quality and we are the best of the best. So really being able to believe that and lean on our spirituality when we're living our self-worth life. And number 7, last but not least, upgrading our humility for gratitude. So think about humility. I give you a compliment. I'm like, oh my God, so amazing. You're drawing. Like, oh, you're such an amazing mom. And you're like, oh yeah, like, thanks. No, he's a great kid though. I'm so lucky. I just like have a good kid. Right? That looks like you're kind of taking the compliment, but you're not really taking the compliment. You're passing it off and being like, oh, well, the kid is great. I'm not great, which is true, but also you are great. And I was getting that if we can actually use gratitude instead of humility, because humility, or the way that we're understanding humility, is kind of like passing off the compliment, where gratitude is, I'm going to put this in my energy. So again, I'm going to give you the compliment. You're an amazing mom. And you then be like, thank you so much. Hasn't been easy, but yes, I'm proud of the kind of mom that I have become as well. And you can obviously see it in my kids. They're amazing, but I have to believe that part of them being amazing is because I am their mom, right? I have goosebumps. I just drenched myself in gratitude, grateful for myself. Like, I am so grateful that I went through a certain journey to be the kind of mom that I am. And gratitude actually makes me present, brings everything into my body, and it's both receiving but also giving it back to the divine. I remember the first time I met my now hairdresser. She's very Christian, and it was hard to get an appointment with her, so I had somebody have to like kind of refer me to her. And she was excited to work with me, but at the same time, she was like, oh, this girl's kind of woo-woo. I believe in Jesus, and she does these intuitive readings. I don't know if we're going to be able to get along or whatever. But nonetheless, she was open to me, and I sat in her chair, and right away, I think the first conversation we had, something I talk about the work that I do and the intuitive readings, and I look at her, I'm like, yeah, I'm so grateful for the work that I do, but obviously it's also a gift from God. Like, and I can't pretend that I'm not meant to do this work, because why would God put that in me? I'm amazing at what I do because of the gift I was given. So yes, I'm amazing. I'm great. And also, the divine gave that to me. So it's just this beautiful gratitude where I'm acknowledging the gift, but I'm also giving it back to gratitude. And actually, my hairdresser said that was life-changing for her, because I don't know what she called it. She said, you gave it back to grace or something. Like she's like, you know, she's like, the way you talk, you're not trying to be God yourself. I'm like, no, by gosh, by no means. And that was like one of the things that made her feel like I was safe, which is hilarious. But anyways, there's this feeling of taking it in and feeling gratitude for it, giving it back as well, but really receiving it and claiming like what you have done well. So really looking at the way people compliment us, maybe it's a small thing. It could be, you know, the way we make coffee or the way we do our hair or the way we set everything. Let yourself receive it, be grateful for it, and let yourself drench it, because self-worth and attracting has to do with our vibration, our energy, our aura. And I was really seeing that when we sit in gratitude and receive from what people are giving us or other, you know, whatever other experiences are giving us, it actually really enriches that aura and then helps us attract more. Where sometimes what we call humility is just us throwing it out, bouncing it off, taking it off our energy, and then we never really get to increase in our own creation power or our own attraction power, and then we just feel really shitty. So a lot of times we are being given, it's almost like saying, I'm giving you money, like I'm adding to your self-worth bank account. I'm trying to give to you, like I want to give to you, and you are taking that and you're not depositing it in the bank. The other day I had a check, because who goes and deposits checks anymore, but I had this check that came from my son's school and it was just like sitting on my table for like 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, Nikki, like you need to deposit that instead of it just staying there, right? And it's a form of receiving and being in gratitude and then adding to my self-worth bank account, because that's what we are trying to increase. Okay, friends, that is our self-worth episode. I hope that was expansive. I hope that I'm depositing into your self-worth bank account. I want you to fill it up, have it, receive it, so that you can keep receiving and creating that life with all the power that you have within you. And that's because you have more self-worth. I love you much, and I will see you in the next episode. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. If you have a sec, I would so appreciate it if you would leave me a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Those reviews are so helpful. And if you're ready to start living your soul-led life, pick up my latest book, Soul-Led Living, available on Amazon. Until next time, love you much.